we'll get rain.
And wind.
That's one of the reasons why. That's one of the reasons why I chose the Lynx Outback.
We're going to call the Tuesday, September 24th, 2024 meeting of the Planning Board to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk will call the roll, please.
Mr. Obeck?
Present.
Mr. Kazuba?
Here.
Mr. Burge?
Here.
Mr. Cannon?
Here.
Mr. Carney?
Here.
Mr. Reback? Mr. Young? We have a quorum.
Thank you. Item number three, adoption of the agenda. I hear a motion and a second?
Make a motion. We adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Item number four, approval of meeting minutes. I suspect the members have had a chance to review the minutes from the past meetings. I'll entertain a motion and a second to adopt if there's no corrections.
Move the minutes from the meeting of July 23rd, 2024 be approved as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item number five, report of the staff.
Yes, Aaron? Sir. Thank you, Chairman. Good afternoon, Board. It's good to be back here with you guys. Just a few updates today. I'm glad to report we have three new employees in the Planning and Development Department. We have Bernadette Fisher, our new senior planner, has joined us. I'm away if they burn it. Also, we have a new Code Enforcement Administrative Assistant. Her name is Bailey Hornbuckle. And we have a new building permit technician. Her name is Heather Ricci. So we're glad that they're all aboard with us. We have finally full staffed again. Coming up, there's going to be a town hall landscaping project. This is going to be to replant the areas that were previously cleared by Public Works of the Muscadine grapevines earlier this year. Replanting of the cleared areas is set to begin in October. Around the final week, we'll see the installation of native plants, and we'll introduce 272 native plant varieties. Once established, these plants will help reduce soil erosion, water runoffs, conserve water, lower maintenance needs, and enhance wildlife habitats. And lastly, the South Peninsula sidewalk. Starting last month, contractors were hired by Volusia County. They're conducting survey work along South Peninsula Drive. You've probably seen them out there. That's from the northern town limits to Lighthouse Drive. This survey marks the beginning, and the next phase of the next phase will be the design for the sidewalk widening. And this survey is expected to take about 5 months. Once it's completed, the county will engage an engineer to do that design. And that's all I have, Chairman.
Darren, I just have a question or two on the sidewalk project. I know this thing has been discussed a lot. Is there a new completion date floating around on this?
I'm sorry, what was that?
A new completion date or a completion date?
No, I've not heard of any. I think it'll be more finalized when they do the design about when it'll be completed. We still have to have meetings with the public, you know, because there's going to be concerns in front of some people's houses about the width of the sidewalk and then expanding the sidewalk. So.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any members have any questions of the staff? Hearing none. Item six, correspondence and disclosure of ex parte communications. Do we have anything there?
I identified communications between Mike Revac and myself, and I forwarded that to the appropriate people for the record.
Okay, this is a communication that the board has not seen, I take it.
Right, regarding this ordinance change.
Okay.
He provided me what his thoughts were.
Okay.
Can you just specify which particular item that is? Is it item 8A?
It would be... Yes, 8A, correct.
Okay, and can you just specify the date and time and the matter of correspondence, please?
He texted me yesterday at 5:28 p.m. Indicating that he had reviewed what was being presented, indicated that the only question he would have was with modification zoning district permitting uses with major special exception designations, what are the next steps required to get the event approved. He said, just my thoughts. I responded, got it. He said, probably should bring it up, my thoughts, and potentially identify it as an issue with sunshine requirements, which I have done.
Actually, I have one issue to bring up. On Sunday, I went to the farmer's market and happened to bump into the ladies that run that, and they had some concerns that they discussed with me, and I asked them to bring it to Patty, which was done, and we received that communication. So I think that's out there now, and everything is on the up and up as far as that goes.
Yeah, Ryan's seen the email. So.
Okay.
I had a question on the text exchange. Do we know if those concerns from the board member were forwarded to the staff?
Yes, they were forwarded to the staff.
Okay. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll move to item 7, hearing of cases. Seeing that we have none, I will move to item 8, business items, 8A, ordinance 2024, amending the LEDC, Article 2 Zoning District, Section 2.40.1, interpretation of uses and structures permitted, Table 2-5, table of permitted uses, adding farmers markets as a major special exception to the public institutional zoning district. And I'll have the staff take over from here. Oh, there you are.
Good afternoon, Chairman and board members.
You move fast.
So we're here today to discuss this proposed amendment. The proposed ordinance has been drafted in response to Town Council's directive to amend the Land Use Development Code to allow farmers markets as a special exception use in the public institutional zoning district. As the planning board, you review proposed land development regulations, determine their consistency with the comprehensive plan, and make recommendations to the town council as to whether the regulations should be adopted. Of course, following the board's recommendation, the town council will review the ordinance. If approved on first reading at a public hearing, the amendment will then be scheduled for a second reading at a public hearing for adoption. As background, town staff received a written request from the Ponce Inlet Community Center Board of Trustees requesting that farmers markets be added as a permitted or special exception use in the public institutional zoning district. Code amendments are initiated in one of three ways: sponsored or directed by a council member, proposed by staff to implement policies in the comprehensive plan or changes to state law, or through a paid application from a member of the public. In this case, at the June 4th, 2024 special meeting with the Planning Board and Town Council, the Town Council directed to move forward with amending the LUDC to allow farmers markets as a permitted special exception use in the public institutional zoning district. Currently, farmers markets are only permitted by right in the planned waterfront development zoning district and allowed as a minor special exception use in the B1, B2, and PUD zoning districts. In the public institutional zoning classification, farmers markets are currently not permitted as a special exception use, but they are allowed through a special event permit that's limited to 12 times per calendar year. According to LUDC section 6.63, a special exception is a use that would not be appropriate without restriction, but which, if controlled as to number, area, location, or relation to the surrounding area, would promote the public health, safety, and general welfare. These uses require a more comprehensive review and by their nature may necessitate specific conditions to mitigate any potential adverse impacts. The Planning Board serves as the decision-making authority for minor special exceptions, while major special exceptions require a recommendation from the Planning Board and approval by the Town Council, which in this case, this is what is being proposed, is this use as a major special exception. So the request to add farmers market as a special exception would provide additional locations for farmers markets to serve the local population. 16 properties within the town limits are zoned public institutional. Those properties include town-owned facilities and parks, county-owned facilities and parks, and private scientific facilities. The Ponsonlet Community Center Board of Trustees is in support of allowing a local farmers market to operate at the community center. Based on the safety, convenience, and unique location, the board has requested that farmers markets be added as a special exception use. The Ponsonlet Community Center is owned by the town and is zoned public institutional. The proposed amendment will add a major special exception notation, SMJ, in the public institutional zoning column in section 2.40 of table 2.5, table of permitted uses, under the section of the table in the LUDC titled Community Facilities and Public Assembly. Footnote 10 is included in the notation and located in the last row of table 2.5 to identify public institutional zone properties excluded from the major special exception. The three public institutional zone properties proposed to be included as a major special exception are the Ponsonlet Community Center, Ponsonlet Fire and Rescue, Timothy Pollard Memorial Park, which are all located adjacent to each other on South Peninsula Drive. The other public institutional zone properties that are excluded from the special exception include Ponce Preserve, Timaquan Oaks Garden, Winter Haven Park, Public Works Facility, Ponce Inlet Historic Museum, Battelle Institute properties, which there are two of, Jesse Lindsay Boat Ramp, Marine Science Center, Pacetti Hotel Museum, Ponce de Leon Lighthouse and Museum, and Kay and Ayers Davies Lighthouse Park and Lighthouse Point Park. And originally, if you remember, we did send a revision out. Originally, we had included the Pacetti Hotel Museum, the Lighthouse, and the Davies Lighthouse Park. However, when in a discussion with Ed Gunn, the director of the Historic the Lighthouse Preservation Association, that they did not want that to occur on those two properties. And then upon further review, there are some restrictions on those properties that are included in a 10-acre location in those areas. So as reviewed against the comprehensive plan, the ordinance will maintain consistency with the town's desired vision and direction. The future land use element of the comprehensive plan classifies the public institutional land use category as land used for quasi-public and private activities or facilities which will serve the public interest in an educational, recreation, or scientific context. Staff recommends this ordinance amending 2.40 Table of Permitted Uses to include farmers markets as a major special exception use in the public institutional zoning district, excluding 13 of the 16 public institutional zoned properties. And if you have any questions.
And that's different what you see. There was a typo in your staff report. It says 10, I believe, on there. So it's excluding 13 of the 16.
I have a question, not so much for you, Patty, or anything that you said, but one of the things that Ms. Kessler said in her email was that she had a problem with Mark being in this decision because he's got a conflict of interest as being one of the board members for the PICI. And so I'd like to hear from council your opinion on that issue.
I have discussed that with Mark, and he will be recusing himself from the vote on this issue.
Thank you.
And also to mention, yeah, that email was sent, and that was sent to all the board members as well. So,
thank you.
Board members, do you have questions about this proposal?
I have a question about the inclusion of the fire department in Timothy Park. Is that because they're adjacent, or is there the prospect that they could be used in connection with the farmers market?
Not necessarily used in connection, but I reached out to Jackie Alex, the cultural services director, and she indicated that they would like to be included. And I guess at one time, the fire chief had talked about having food trucks before the community center had done so. So being that that's and the fact that they're adjacent, there could be some cross uses for parking or events, but none are planned as such.
Well, if the fire department, for example, wanted to use food trucks, would what we're doing here cover that? Because this seems pretty specific to farmers markets. Is that
correct? Yeah, it's separate, but just that was just an example of that they had thought about using or doing an event that was a public event. I don't think that they would have a farmer's market there, but...
But if they wanted a public event, would this then allow them to do that?
It would allow them to do a farmer's market. If they wanted to do an event like the food trucks, that would be a special event.
Yeah, that'd be a total different application. It'd be a special event application. It wouldn't be under the farmer's market section that we have.
Okay.
And also remember, there's discussion that we may be moving the fire station one day, so... Not sure what the property would be used for. So,
great, thank you.
So I've got a follow-up to that. I mean, given the current configuration of the Ponce Inlet Fire and Rescue and the Timothy Pollard Memorial Park, there really isn't any way that either of those could be used for a farmer's market. I mean, I went back and pulled the farmer's market package from, well, I think it was July of 22, and they were really told that they had to use 32 parking spaces and they needed about 3,000 square feet of vending area. So, I mean, there's not any way that that could occur. I mean, that Pollard Memorial Park has got six regular spaces and one handicap, and those pickleball courts are heavily utilized, so I don't think the pickleball players would want anybody taking their parking places and putting a farmers market there. So I think that one is really 100% off the table. And the fire and rescue, I mean, they have a job of doing fire and rescue. They park there. It's usually fairly full. I don't think they've got an extra 32 spaces either. So I don't really understand why those two are included. There's not any possibility of putting a farmers market there.
The way we were looking at it is, if you have it at the community center, you could have some bleed over, maybe some parking in that northern edge of the the fire station, of the fire station property. There's also some, you know, there's some grassy area at Pollard Park as well. It could be a large event. I mean, and the fire department knows.
There's no way it's going to go at Pollard Park. You have six parking places. Have you been to the farmer's
market? No, I'm talking that you could, hold on. I'm talking you could park at the community center and you could walk down there to that grassed area.
Wow. But you have to have a place for all those vehicles that go to the
vendors? That's where
you're,
the parking's going to be more at
I just don't see those as either of those as being feasible, so I don't know why they're included in here.
And that they're adjacent, and we don't know exactly what the future use of at least the fire station property may be once that moves.
Well, then that could be revisited if the future use changes. But as long as it's a fire station and you got firefighters parking there, well, and most of that parking,
it's not going to happen. It's not going to interfere with any of their operations. They would not let that happen.
That would also be part of the major special exception review. If there was an application, the planning board would make a recommendation. They could add specific restrictions, and then the town council could do that as well. So if it was a farmer's market that required 32 parking spaces, I would guess that you would not approve that. You would not recommend approval. And then if it was permitted, there would be certain restrictions on parking.
Well, why do we want to go through the facade of pretending it's possible when we know it's not? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. If you can't have it there, then let's not put it in our code that says you could have it there. We know you can't have it there.
I'm not sure that you can't have it there. I mean, you can do some workarounds. You can, like I said, you could have maybe booths in the northern part of the fire station parking lot, maybe parking. There could be all kinds of workarounds. I'm not saying you can't have it there.
I don't agree with that. Another question related to this, it came out of the minutes, and it was something that Joe V says. I'm just kind of curious as to what the background on it is. As he said, and I can go find it and read it, but it basically said that if you had only one entity that was in the exception, that there were some legal issues with that. Is that right, Joe? I don't know if you recall that meeting from back in June. Let me find it. I wasn't at the meeting, so I'm just going off the minutes here, but I'll find it. Yeah, it's right here. Council member Villanella stated he would like the farmer's market at Pickey. However, he understands the legal concerns that we cannot say the special permit is only for Pickey. So I'm just curious as to what those legal concerns are.
I'm not aware of what those are.
Okay.
Board members have other questions?
I do, if I may. Assuming that the 13 properties want to be excluded, then shouldn't they be excluded from any special exception, not just major exception?
Well, this is being proposed as a major special exception, this farmer's market use,
right,
in the PI zoning district.
Okay. It's unfortunate that someone from the Lighthouse organization is here, but I'm wondering, my question was why when I first saw this. I mean, maybe the current management doesn't foresee them wanting to do it, but 10 years from now when new management is in place, I just couldn't understand why you'd want to be excluded if the requirement is that you would have to submit a major exception anyway, and that would require their support. I just couldn't understand why.
There's also a deed on that property, which I thank goodness for Mike Disher, because he's got the historic knowledge. There's a 10-acre portion of the property that includes the lighthouse and right. Davies Park, and so there are deed restrictions on that for commercial uses and some other uses. So I, you know, based on their request to be excluded in that deed, I think that was the right thing to exclude those properties.
Okay. All right. And my last question is, it has to be a major exception because...
Well, it was thought that the council would want to take a look at it. That's why it
okay.
comes
on town-owned properties.
Right. I just thought that given the town council had recommended moving forward with this, that in essence, my thought was anyway, that was their approval that, hey, let's move forward with this exception already.
Right.
No?
Well,
I mean, I don't have any problems. I was just wondering, it seems like we're going back through the same process.
Right. Well, in the internal review, it was noted that the town council should have the final approval for events being held on town property.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
I have a couple questions. Just for background knowledge, as far as who was going to be included and who was not, were some of these folks approached by the town, or did they come forward on their own volition? And I'm thinking of the Battelle and the Marine Science Center and the Lighthouse, I guess, in particular here. Well, in the Lighthouse's case, was there anything that they put in writing?
Yes, I had an email from Ed Gunn, the director of the Historic Lighthouse Preservation Association, and I had reached out to the manager at the lighthouse, and then he floated that up to who needed to see it. And then, of course, I reached out to Jackie Alex regarding the properties that were included, and then some of the properties, the private scientific research properties, those wouldn't apply, and then some of the county-owned facilities, we wouldn't be making decisions on their properties.
But in the instance of Battelle and the Marine Science Center, the town reached out to each of those?
I did not reach out to them because the Battelle is a privately owned fenced-in properties.
Yeah, those are research facilities that I doubt they're going to want to have farmers markets at.
Okay, and what about the Science Center?
I did not reach out to the Marine Science Center. I did not reach out to the county-owned facilities.
And help me with my memory here. Were we provided the email from the Lighthouse in our packet?
I don't think you were.
I don't recall seeing that. That would have been helpful, especially I would have been curious to hear their reasons for jumping in on this.
That was after the agenda went out, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't. There wasn't really reasoning provided. They wanted to be excluded. That was the reason.
Okay. And then I have a question. There, as part of our packet, there was a letter from the community center.
It should be attachment one.
And what is the date of this letter? Because I don't see a date on it.
You are right. There is not a date on there.
There was not a date. It was in March or April of this year, I believe. Wasn't it, Mark?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And so that, for me, tees up something that I wanted to ask about. And this was this letter that we received, I think it was just yesterday, from Jer Kessler, and it talks in 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth graph, says that on March 10th, 2024, Darren forwarded us a copy of a letter sent to him by the community center saying they were no longer in a position to host the market as there were too many conflicts. First of all, do we know if that's accurate? And secondly, is there such a letter?
There was a letter from the board that came to us stating that they were no longer requesting that.
So then...
That was as a special event. Special event application when the market, I believe, was looking for a new location. I think they were looking in a couple of different places, and I think they had reached out to the community center to submit a special event application, and then it was withdrawn, and it was done with that letter.
Okay, but as far as their reasoning, as far as no longer being in a position to host the market as there were too many conflicts, I mean, was that... It almost sounds like, from reading this, and I don't know how accurate this is, it almost sounds like the community center had a change of heart at some point. And I'm trying to get
talk
to the bottom.
That. You'd have to talk to them about their reasoning.
I'm happy to speak on behalf of the community center. Yes, that was a change. Initially, what occurred was we looked at the members of our board of trustees and their ability to cover and manage, oversee the farmers market. And at that point in time, it just wasn't going to work well. And then I believe a couple of months later, we revisited it. And people stepped forward and said, okay, we'll make ourselves available. And so that generated the letter suggesting that we move forward as a special exception.
Well, Mark, I hate to put you on the spot here as the community center guy, but were those unanimous? Was that a unanimous vote?
You mean by the board?
Yeah.
I believe I'm almost certain it was. Again, as a result of numerous board members coming forward and saying, you know, that they're willing to step forward and help oversee a farmer's market. We were lucky that. We had some board members that their personal situations changed. That's all I can say.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think you maybe understand that the reason sort of doing a pause here is that, you know, we're making a change here, and we have the people that run the location of the change are sort of, we're not interested, and then they were interested, and we're only talking about a couple of month period where it's not like they weren't interested 5 years ago and now they're interested. I mean, they weren't interested 6 months ago.
Well, that was the special event application, not being able to have farmers market permitted in the zoning district. They had changed their minds on doing the special event.
Mark said that they weren't willing to put the manpower into running, is what he said, and then they changed their mind. That's different.
As a special event, correct. And we also, when you look at special events, there's a limit to the number that you can have. And frankly, at that time, and by the way, we have no plans in place to have a farmer's market. It's not like we're scheduling a farmer's market to be held at any date. We just want the ability to, under a special exception, to be able to have one in the future. But we, as of this date, have no plans, definitive plans, to hold one.
So with that being said, I guess I need to ask the question of what's the justification for us considering this exception to the policy. I mean, we just had training from Cliff Shepard in July on how to do this job, and he said that exceptions to the planning policy should really be exceptionally rare. You shouldn't be handing out exceptions unless you've got some very compelling need, and I don't see a compelling need. And then if they're not even planning to use the exception, that's a I mean, there's just...
Because town council directed us to do that, because the board from the community center had requested that, and there was a special meeting June 4th, and staff was directed to move forward.
I understand, but...
That's why we're doing
it. I understand why you did what you did, but I'm saying, for us, why would we want to consider granting a special exception when there's no compelling need, is my question. I haven't heard any reason why we'd want to do that.
Well, one thought that was presented was that the current farmers market situation is every other week. And the vendors have, numerous vendors came forward and saying, and asked us whether or not it would be possible to have a farmers market at the community center so that they could have some consistency in their business and thereby alternate weeks with the existing farmers market. The point here is that we believe a weekly farmers market, any farmers market, is going to benefit the community. If we roll to a weekly farmers market, and again, don't have any specific plans in place yet because we had to wait on the approval from zoning in order to even think about it to proceed, is that it would be greatly beneficial to the community as a whole. The more representation these locally grown entities and businesses have, the better for us, and the better for the community as a whole to have access to all that.
Well, I don't disagree with any of that, but I think that's a separate question completely from what's being asked here.
Asked what the need was.
That's a
need for the community.
Okay, let me speak. One of the reasons that market that exists now is doing every other week is they're limited to 12 times a year to have that event. And so this is a way to circumvent that rule. And I think if the town wants the farmers market to be done more than 12 times a year, then that rule needs to be addressed, not let's set up a separate farmers market and then we skirt the rule. I mean, that's not how you should do business. If the town wants a farmers market every week or twice a week or 10 times a week, then somebody needs to change the rule to allow
that. Well, that property is zoned residential, so we don't want to be adding farmers market into residential. That's why they had to do special events, the parking lot for the north turn.
Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, you got a restaurant running there.
The restaurant is zoned commercial, but the parking lot across the street is not zoned commercial.
Well, I don't really care. I mean, it's used for restaurant parking every day of the week. Right. And so I don't understand that problem. And then when we bring in another entity that comes in and says, hey, you know, we're asking for permission to do this because the current farmers market has lost its home and the current farmers market is going to move here. I mean, at one point, I guess they did move their home because they moved locations, but it doesn't sound like from that letter from Ms. Kessler that at any point were they going to move over to the community center. And so it's saying, hey, they lost their home. We're going to help them out by giving them a home. But that's not even true. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The whole underpinning of this just it bothers me because I don't think the whole story has been told here.
I have another question. Just to make sure I understand, if the community center decides to do a farmers market, and that decision has not been made yet.
That's correct.
It would be to supplement the existing farmers market?
We have no plans whatsoever at this point. So it would take a board meeting to review what options are. We have not had those discussions. I was only suggesting that one option would be that given the current farmers market being every other week, that one option would be to do alternate weeks so that a farmers market would exist and operate in Ponce Inlet every week. But again, we have not had discussions. That would be open discussions to the board. But we want to have the ability, and that's why this has been presented, as we want to have the option to have a farmer's market. We have the facility. It's prime location. We've already talked to the pastor who runs church there Sunday morning. He actually views it as a positive because it may bring in more people into his services. So we believe it would be an overall benefit to the community and the church actually also.
I don't necessarily want to open up a can of worms here, but if you have one existing farmer's market and somebody else possibly interested in doing a farmer's market, why hasn't this been combined and into one joint effort?
I'm trying to understand the real basis of your question.
Well, I mean, we maybe, if this is approved, we could be heading down the road here of having a farmer's market at North Turn and a second farmer's market at the community center. And so the question is, why haven't the two sides gotten together and figured out having the best place to have one farmer's market?
That was discussed originally with the board. And I'm not, timing, I can't remember when. Yeah, I guess it was shortly after the current farmer's market lost their ability to be by 7-Eleven. When the discussion came forward to our board, it was felt that working with the current people running that farmer's market was an untenable situation.
If that's true, then you shouldn't have written a letter that implies that that farmer's market that currently exists in Ponce Inlet is going to move to the community center. And that's what this letter implies. It says, in support of allowing the local farmer's market to operate the north end of the parking area of the community center. It doesn't say allow us to establish our own farmer's market. The farmer's market has lost the ability to operate in their current locations. We ask that this reclassification of the abilities for public institution will be expedited. So you're asking for something that was never even planned. You're asking for the farmer's market that we all are familiar with and that has a permit to operate to get moved to your facility, but that's not at all what was ever intended.
I don't see that at all. I don't read anything into what's written.
I'm not reading into it either, Mark. Unanimous support of allowing the local farmer's market to operate at the north end of the parking lot.
Right.
The local farmer's market. There's only one local farmer's market in Ponce Inlet.
I don't understand why you presume that there should only be one farmer's market.
I didn't presume. I said your letter says the local farmer's market.
That doesn't say the only farmer's market.
I didn't say that it did, but it implies that the farmer's market that was homeless at the time this was written was going to move where you are and continue operating. That's what the letter says, Mark.
I disagree. Totally disagree.
Is there anything else from the board? I'm going to open it up to the public now to see if anybody wants to step forward and comment on this issue. Do we have anybody? I see some people shaking their heads no. Nothing? All right. Let the record show that the meeting was open for public comment and there was none. And now we are back to the board on deciding what we want to do with this. I am open to either more discussion or a motion.
I have a question about the nature of a farmer's market. Is that not kind of an aggregation of vendors who are not necessarily beholden to anybody? If you provide a field and parking,
they choose to come or not to come?
I mean, that
like,
is
you
correct.
Don't, you don't, there's no contractual agreement with this, so...
No contractual agreement.
It's not an
agreement.
Entity. It's just an assembly point. And I understand what you're saying, John, but it's, I think you could have three people set up in an area and say, I'm declaring a farmer's market and maybe send, you know, invitations or however they do it. I'm not familiar with how they do it. And either these folks show up and maybe, I don't know if there's a fee involved or not, pay their fee or not pay their fee, try to sell whatever it is they're trying to sell and leave. I don't think anybody, I don't think it's an aggregate group that somebody controls and says, well, you can't come or I demand that you be here. It's just a group of people that show up, is it not?
I don't know.
Is that the case? I don't know.
That is the case. That is the case, that these vendors are providing an opportunity to sell their wares, whatever that may be. It's totally voluntary. No contract is signed. No fee is charged, those vendors. It's just a place for them to congregate and to sell their wares.
Okay. I think if that's the case, and I'm not saying that's not, I just don't know what the case is, but if that's the case, then I don't see a problem in providing us another location for people to assemble. If they want to go, they go. If they don't, like, I don't want to be on that side of town, I don't want to be at the Bickey Center, they have a choice. They don't have to show up. And I don't know that you can move these people around as you're suggesting. They might say, yeah, I'm going, or they may just say, no, I'm going. I'm staying here at North Turn. So, and I don't know about how the business runs, and I don't know how attractive it would be to have one every week. And I certainly don't think two in one week would ever, that would probably, nobody survive there. But
generally speaking, the vendors prefer every week.
Every week?
Every week. Okay. They that way they can schedule themselves each week where they're going to be. It's not like they're contracted. They have to be there. Mm-hmm. If they show up, great. It's totally voluntary. Mm-hmm. We would presume there would be so many spots available, and basically it would be, you send out a notice, and first come, first serve.
Okay.
And our perspective was, why not have more vendors, more variety for the town citizens to enjoy?
And the distinction, Darren, is that currently what's going on at North Turn is being done under a special event.
Special event, correct. And you can only have those 12 times a year.
12 times a year. Yeah. Now, go ahead.
Well, I was just recalling when the farmer's market was over by 7-Eleven, and I seem to recall that it started off with a bang, quote unquote, but then as time went on, it kind of became thin soup. And especially in the summertime, there were, boy, you can almost sometimes count the vendors on one hand. So the idea of holding it every week, I'm not in the farmer's market business, so I don't know, but I just know what I see.
The thought months ago would be, if we move forward, we probably would not have a farmer's market during the summer because it gets unbearable, as per what you observed, with 7-Eleven. So July and August probably would be the 2 months that we would not have a farmer's market. But again, we have no plans. We haven't discussed this any further as a board because we've been waiting on this moving forward.
Is there anything, Darren, that prohibits, so
if we approve, were to approve this, then you would have one farmer's market operating in one location at will, more or less.
Correct.
And you'd have another farmer's market operating in another location that is limited to 12 events a year, and I presume that's 12 at their choice.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure I see a problem with that, but...
the chair is willing to entertain a motion.
Before we do that, could I ask a question?
Yeah, sure. Go
ahead. Since we, like I said, we just had the training from council on what we're supposed to be doing, and so I'd just like some advice on what the threshold should be for approving an exception like this. What should we be looking for to make that decision?
Really, I mean, you don't have a set criteria. It's like a quasi-judicial proceeding. So it's really, you take staff's recommendation, any knowledge that you have. So there's really not a set criteria for that. The only thing I can say is, since there is one person abstaining, it would take three to pass anything, three affirmative votes.
I think... Earlier, John, you mentioned that that Cliff had said something about having a very strict requirement. I believe that strict requirement referred to variances, because I've sat here for a while, and every year he has harped on the fact that a variance should be given in only the most extreme, just about the same language you used. I'm not sure that the... special exceptions and that category of permission, if you will, is held to that extreme requirement. I think, you know, in other words, you can't give a variance, for example, because you think it's just going to benefit the town or the citizens, or it'd be a nice thing to have. That wouldn't fly. I think with something like a special exception, major, minor, whatever, that's done with, well, is it bad for the town? If it was bad for the town, then you certainly wouldn't approve it. If it was neutral, and you might think, well, it's going to create problems, but it's not doing harm. Or is it good for the town? And I think that's kind of how I think it should be looked at. Is it going to harm the town to have another farmer's market? I don't know. I don't know enough about how it works to say it's going to harm it. My guess is that because of capitalism, if it works well, it'll stay. Either way, if you have two or one or however. If it doesn't work well, we may have none, no matter whether it's by special exception or special event.
I really appreciate your opinion on that. I guess I'm just curious, as where is that line between the things that Cliff's talking about that are really try not to do these and the things that we're apparently you think we're talking about here? I'm just trying to learn.
Yeah, well, I think Cliff's made the line on variances extremely clear, and it's, you know, I don't know if he'd agree that 1 in 100 should be given, but it's very strict, and I think what we're looking at is not held to that standard. It's held to a much lesser standard where you have a lot of subjectivity. So you say, well, the example I can think of is a fella came here years ago and he had a pretty good sized boat, 50, 60 foot cruiser. And he wanted to start a business of spreading ashes and use that as a business. You know, well, okay, that, you know, that's nice, but I can't say that the community is benefiting from it. It's a service. I don't know how he's doing, so, you know, kind of neutral on that. Farmers market, if you have a good farmers market, the community benefits. And the way I think you're going to figure that out is who can, you know, how does that operate? And let it go. And if you think it's a problem, I don't know. I guess on the special event, I suppose you could retract this if it becomes a problem, right?
Correct.
If not, you could undo this.
Same thing.
If you think yes, if there's some code enforcement issues, we can definitely clamp down on whatever the issue is.
Oh, okay. That's all I have.
And I just want to make clear, it's really two separate issues. If you had a variance in front of you, then you would have the factors that you would have to go through to check it off to say either you approve or you don't approve. That's not really the case for this particular ordinance. You know, you have the procedures, which would be, you know, sponsored or directed by a council member, which is what you have here. And then you do have the staff recommendation, which finds that it does maintain consistency with the comprehensive plan. So really, there's not any factors for you to go through. It's really just sort of, do you think it's in the best interest or not?
Thank you.
Anything else from the board?
Okay, then you need a motion, right?
All right, you'll entertain a motion.
All right, I'll recommend that we make a motion to approve Ordinance 24-whatever, amending Section 2.4, Table of Permitted Uses, to include farmers markets as a major special exception use for the PI zoning district, excluding 10 of the 16 PI-zoned properties.
That's 13.
13 is 16.
Not the 10.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have it. It says 10 here. 13 it is.
Do we have a second? I will second. Roll call.
Mr. Cannon?
Yes.
Mr. Kazuba?
Yes.
Mr. Burge?
No.
Mr. Carney?
No.
Motion is split. D50. Motion fails.
The motion fails.
And just so we're clear, Mr. Obeki did abstain, and he will be filing the Form 8B.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said just for clarification, you did abstain, and you will be filing the Form 8B.
That is correct.
Moving to next item on the agenda, item 8B, Ordinance 2024, amending Articles 3, 8, and 9 of the LUDC to substitute references of the Code Enforcement Board with Special Magistrate.
Yes, Chairman. This item has been developed to implement the Town Council's directive to shift away from Code Enforcement Board process to a special magistrate enforcement process. The amendment changes certain references found throughout your land use development code pertaining to enforcement of land development regulations. Chapter 162 of Florida statutes authorizes the use of a special magistrate to enforce the city codes and ordinances. A special magistrate is an attorney and member of the Florida Bar who is appointed by the Town Council to preside over code enforcement matters. They're appointed to hear and decide code violations. They can issue orders bringing a violation into compliance, such as fines, repair costs, and administrative costs. They can also subpoena witnesses and evidence to take testimony under oath. Town staff did a survey in June, which showed the town of Ponsenla is the only municipality in Volusia County that exclusively uses a code enforcement board rather than a special magistrate or a combination of both. At the Town Council meeting on July 18, 2024, the Council directed staff to proceed with transitioning from Code Enforcement Board to Special Magistrate. And also, there's what you have before you is the Land Use Development Code articles that mention the Code Enforcement. There are dozens and dozens in the Code of Ordinances that will be going to Town Council as well for their approval. We have David Hooker, our code enforcement supervisor. If you have specific code enforcement questions, with that, staff does recommend approval on this item. Thank you.
Does the board have any questions on this?
Yes, the only one I have, and I see Lois sitting here, and it already went through your staff, so I think it's probably fine, but I've heard that the Ponce Inlet Code, as it refers to housing, is grandfathered because some of the things we have on short-term leasing and things like that, and that you really can't change even, you know, any terminology within your code. So I just would want to make sure that if we update anything that we don't cause a problem that we lose our grandfather status and any of that.
No, that would not affect this.